Stephen Rolf Powell has been making art with glass for about 30 years. Some of his work can be seen at the Tennessee Aquarium near the Living Jellies exhibit. He also teaches art at Center College in Danville, Kentucky. While he was installing the exhibit of colorful glassworks, I stopped by to learn how he perfected his art. They have whimsical names like Snorkeling Orange Sniffer and Pushy Purple Snorter, and each piece flows with vibrant color. Stephen Rolf Powell's fanciful collection of wackos fairly glow with reflected light in the exhibit near the Living Jellies, but Powell didn't start his career in glass.
I went to graduate school in ceramics, and that was the first time I really saw a glass program or glass being made in a studio, and it was pretty much love at first sight. I knew that's what I was going to do, so I finished my degree in ceramics just to go ahead and get my MFA so I could teach, and then I landed at Center College somehow right out of grad school, and they hired me to teach ceramics for 1 year as a visiting instructor, and I'm still there 30 years later. And I built the glass studio, and my work changed over from ceramics completely to glass.
Well, those are completely different techniques, different materials. I mean, there's still heat involved, but you're really close to the heat when you're working with glass.
Well, I'm a pyromaniac. I like both of those mediums, but they're really not as different as you might think. In fact, I really think of them as being quite similar, particularly with my interest in both, besides just being interested in the fire and building kilns. But the other thing that's so similar is centering. I love throwing pots on a potter's wheel, taking a mass of clay and learning to center, you know, which I think is certainly symbolic of centering your mind, maybe, I don't know. But in glass, it's the same way. You know, you're spinning. You know, of course, you can't or don't want to touch the material. That was the hardest part, was coming out of the direct tactile touch with clay and moving to glass, where obviously you need something between 2,000-degree glass in your hands. But a lot of similarities, and certainly my concern has been forms that are based on symmetry, though some are asymmetrical. Really similar materials, I think.
What do you call the pieces that are on display now near the Living Jellies?
The series of pieces that we have here in the aquarium are called wackos. So I had to start labeling everything when we did a book. The wackos are named wackos because it's such a wacky, non-traditional process of making glass. We're literally up on top of this big metal stand that we built 6 feet in the air. We have one person on a blowpipe blowing through as we pull a snout, I guess you could call it, and then another person on the other end pulling clear glass to create the tail. And again, all that has to happen within about a 1 minute window. Because once we come out, you know, we're probably running around 1900 degrees at that point. We cannot reheat it at that point. So we have to finish the piece quickly and put it in a cooling oven, and never letting really any part of the piece get below 1,000 degrees if we can pull that off. So,
how much does one of these wackos weigh?
These wackos weigh about 25 pounds, which, you know, doesn't seem like a lot, but if you envision that on the end of a blowpipe, it actually might be more like 30 pounds because there's a lot of glass that's still on the pipe. But you can't touch very far down the pipe because, of course, it's over 2,000 degrees on the end of the pipe. So the leverage is not good. These are large-scale blown glass pieces, though.
And they take at least 3 people in the process.
On the wackos, we actually probably used at least 4 or 5 people. You know, again, there's so many different things, and things have to happen quickly. You know, there are people that are shooting torches on certain areas, people pulling and pushing and protecting and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's definitely a team effort to make these.
And the final blowing of the glass and all of your teamwork may happen pretty quickly, but those color combinations must take quite a while to play with.
Well, they do. I mean, I'm basically studying the pieces that I make. I basically put them up, light them well, and looking at for color combinations in that particular piece that work. I'll then pick other colors that I think will go even better with those colors. I feel like I'm always trying to make the perfect piece. You know, I'm always playing off pieces that I've made, looking for things that worked well. another goal I've always had was to find a new color, a color that's never been, which is impossible. You know, I mean, there's only a certain amount of colors on the color wheel with light, though I'm still trying. In glass, there are really some aspects of color that are unlike any other medium. The qualities that I'm looking at in colors are not only the hue, I'm looking at the hue, the actual color, but I'm also very concerned with the strength of the color. When I put the color on a piece of glass and blow it out, where is it going to be when it's blown out? How strong will it be? But then I've also got this great interaction with light that I can work with opaque glass where you don't see through it and light doesn't pass through it. But probably the most interesting one is the translucent glass, where I can actually reflect light off of the color and it'll show up, and or I can transmit light at the same time. So it changes dramatically depending on how you light the piece. And that really aids in what I think is the strength of the pieces here in the aquarium, the wackos, where you can read inside the piece and they have that kaleidoscopic effect of really changing with the light as you move around the pieces.
When you look at your wackos, it almost looks like there's a texture, that most of those colors are on the outside, and
it almost looks like
the inside would be completely smooth.
What makes the pieces have the physical and visual texture is that all those color beads, or the Italian term is marini, that are applied to the surface of that piece intentionally to create that tactile surface or texture. And what makes it so tactile is that every color of glass has a different viscosity or a different softening point. It reacts to heat differently. And so when we're heating that up, you know, say a blue will just puddle down and then an opaque red will just be stiff and not react to the heat. But they are definitely tactile, some colors more than others.
Each of the wackos seemed to be facing a little bit different direction. Was that intentional to catch more colors through the light?
It was to encourage the viewer to move around the piece. As you picked up, some of the pieces, I don't know if they have a front and back. I guess they sort of have a snout, the hollow snout, if you want to call it, and I call the clear long tail on the end back of the piece, if you want to call it that. But it's to encourage the viewer to move around. You know, if you look at them all just on a frontal view, you see several different views. I have to admit, I did pick with each piece what I thought was the very best view to present to you. But it also will hopefully encourage you to move around. And again, you get that kaleidoscopic changing, mixing of colors as you move around.
How long will your pieces be here at the Tennessee Aquarium?
I think they'll be here 3 years is what I understand. It's really been interesting having worked down at the aquarium. I guess I've had the Screamer series down for 3 or 4 years. And every once in a while, I'll just get a random phone call from some friend of mine who's gone through and go, "Oh, your pieces are in the aquarium. That's you." And so it's really great to have the work down here. And
so what are the names of some of the pieces?
The wackos here at the aquarium are Pushy Purple Snorter. We have Frenetic Nubile Nod. We have Sarcastic Acid Glare. Snorkeling Orange Sniffer. Lemon Puffy Puff. Startle Salacious Pouncer. The names come to me sometimes quickly, sometimes not so quickly. And I really am looking at the piece and seeing if it speaks to me in any way. I think at least parts of the titles are probably obvious on some of them. The wackos, I think I use lurching and snorkeling and that kind of thing where they seem to be leaning. And things. So part of the titling can be the movement or the shape of the piece. And then sometimes it's the coloration just suggests a certain emotion to me, or it might even just be the mood I'm in at that time. I don't know. But I usually give some sort of psychological sort of hint in part of the name.
Stephen Rolph Pell's Wackos can be seen at the Tennessee Aquarium and is provided as part of a collaboration with the Hunter Museum of American Art. Follow the links on the Around and About blog at wutc.org to see more of Pell's work. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.